Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we?
Heavenly Father, how we do thank you, praise you, that you've given us this chance to be here tonight. We thank you for the chance to be in your word. We thank you for songs that are meaningful. And we thank you that we can look forward to remembering and observing that which reminds us of the great sacrifice paid in our behalf. Bless, we pray, this time that yet remains. We thank you in your name. Amen. That's it. You did good. All right. Thank you very much. Well, I would like us to think about what is it to come before the presence of the Lord. What kind of thoughts does that bring to your mind? Coming before the presence of the Lord. Are there any requirements? Or just anybody can come into his presence? What's it entail? We're going to take a look at a couple of familiar portions of Scripture. We're going to look at Psalm 24, 3 through 5, and then we'll look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. But I'd like us, number one, for note takers, to consider the high standard. There is a high standard in order to be able to come into the presence of the Lord. In Psalm 73, 1, you don't need to turn to this. Let me read it for you. The psalmist says, "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean or pure heart." God is good to those who are of a clean or pure heart. Let's look at Psalm 24. Remember I said we'll look at verses 3 through 5. And in verse 3 of Psalm 24, it asks a question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? And he answers it. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. David presents a wonderful concept. The presence of the Lord, and he asked the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? But he answers it, well, it's the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Remember, our Lord in Matthew chapter 5, and again, you don't need to turn to it, but in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, he said, when he was giving the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, is such a condition possible? Is it possible for a person to have a pure heart before the Lord? In Proverbs 20, verse 9, we read these words, and you say, well, you're kind of going fast, Pastor. You're not giving it, jot them down. You can look at them later. Proverbs 20, verse 9, when it talks about having a pure heart, is it possible?
Some perhaps would say, well, yeah, my heart's clean, my heart's pure. But the writer of Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Can you do that? Can I do that? We find in Job 25, verse 4, Job asks this question. Job 25, verse 4, he said, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Do you get what he's saying there? Job understood our sin nature, didn't he? And as he was searching and trying to get some explanation as to how come all of this has happened to me, you remember his three friends, if we could call them that, they kept accusing him of what? Sin, and that's what's happening to you. You know, the scripture says, be sure, your sins will find you out. Guess what, Job? God's just giving it to you because there's some sin in your heart. Throughout that whole time, what did Job keep claiming? I haven't done anything to deserve this. But he also sometimes speaks some things that are the absolute truth. And this fourth verse in Job 25 pretty much says it. How can a man be justified with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? Why? Because we are born with a what? We are born with a sin nature. So, why the questions? As we think about the high standard that has been set, who can say, I've made my heart clean? What man is there, you know, that how can a man be justified? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Well, let's consider, secondly, the heart's substance. What's the problem? What's the problem with our heart? The heart's substance. You know, I had open heart surgery. It was December of 2015. Before the surgery, my wife was sitting right there. I actually asked the surgeon who was going to do the surgery to remove that faulty valve. I said, I want to see it. When you get that thing cut out of me, I said, I want to see it. He said, well, I'm sorry. We won't allow something like that. But he said, I will take a picture of it and show you the old one that we have taken and removed from you. I wanted to see what the substance was that was clogging up and giving me all the trouble that had constituted me having to have open heart surgery and a valve replaced. You say, that's gross, Pastor. What can I say? I just wanted to see the innards. I wanted to see what came out of me. Do you know what your heart is made of? Do you know the substance of it? Do you know what's in there? Our Lord, in Matthew chapter 15, told us exactly what we can find in our hearts. Matthew chapter 15, and it's a real pretty picture. Matthew 15. We start at verse 18, and it says, those things which proceed out of the mouth, he says, they come from the heart. And that's what defiles a man. For out of the heart, here we are. What's my heart made of? Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man. You see, the Pharisees, they were all bent out of shape that the Lord's disciples, they were good old boys. They'd come in from a trip on the road and they were hungry. And if they saw a bologna sandwich after there was prayer, they would just go up to the counter and grab that bologna sandwich and start in. And the Pharisees were having a fit. You didn't wash your hands before you ate. That's defiling you. The Pharisees, they had a whole ridiculous rigmarole and process of washing their hands before they did something. And the Lord Jesus responded to them. He said, to eat with unwashed hands, that's not what's going to defile these men. It's what's coming out of our hearts. That's where the real evil is. That's where the filth and the impurity is. By looking at the raw materials of our hearts, one wonders, how can there ever be something like a pure heart? As much as we'd like to sugarcoat it, dilute it, even deny it, we downplay the output of our hearts. We would like to say, I know what that says, but I heard you. I heard some of you as I was reading that. Yeah, I know there are some people, but that's not, excuse me, let me inform you, you are regarding your heart much higher than the Lord does. Because that's what comes from our hearts. The scriptures are painfully truthful. So in light of these, let's look at number 3, the hopeless substitutes. The hopeless substitutes to get our hearts pure. Down through the ages, different ones have come up with different things to try to purify their hearts. A, one of the things that people have tried down through the ages is seclusion. You know, seclusion. If I would just get away from everybody and everything here, it's everybody else's fault and it's the world's fault. If I would just go to some high in the mountain retreat and just get away from the world, I wouldn't have a problem with my heart. That's what the monks thought they would do years ago, didn't it? They thought if they isolated themselves, their problems would go away. But you know, that's not scriptural, and it proves to be certainly unfruitful. Because they isolated themselves, they built their places to go. I think it was one of the places when we were in Spain, when we took that high cable ride all the way up to a previous hideout of the monks. Martin Valcarcel took us there. I'm telling you, that baby was up there. And modern man could get there by a cable car and get up there. But there was this whole community up there. that the monks had built, thinking that if we just get away, our hearts would be better. Job said it pretty well in Job 14:4. He said, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." So just isolating ourselves, that's not going to purify our hearts. Well, B, there was, the monks didn't do it, and we mentioned to this, Phariseeism, just becoming an emphasis on the externals, doing exactly what the law says. That's going to purify our hearts. And the Pharisees were guilty of that, weren't they? In Matthew 23, verses 23 through 28, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." Ladies, what is mint, anise, and cumin? What are they? Spices. That's pretty heavyweight stuff, isn't it? I mean, that's really big time, isn't it? But he said, "Well, you Pharisees, you want to make sure that, you know, you've got that little cluster of mint or anise there, and you got a tithe. Make sure you put that little pinch of mint away, tithing it." And he said, "You're so, what would we say, set on tithing these little bitty things, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law." What were they not paying any attention to? Judgment, mercy, faith. He said, "These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone." He goes on and he says, "You blind guides, which strain at a gnat, and you swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You make the outside of the cup and the platter clean, but within they are full of extortion and excesses. You blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is inside the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You're like unto whited sepulchres." Now he's taken them to the graveyard, to the cemetery. As they look out there, here are these beautiful small objects, these buildings, which were sepulchres to put the remains of a loved one in. He said, "You'll whitewash them. You make sure that when somebody comes into the cemetery, oh, look how pretty it looks. They've recently repainted their grandma's sepulcher." He said, "You make the outside beautiful, but," he said, "inside, it's full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." And he looked at them and he said, "Even so, you also." He's talking to these Pharisees. These who were emphasizing externals, show, form, tradition, rituals. He said, "You appear righteous unto men." You put on a good show and you want people to say, "Oh my, look at Ezekiel. Look at Benjamin. Oh, what a fine righteous man he is. Oh, he's faithful to observe all of the..." He said, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on our hearts. And he said, there's nothing but filthiness inside of you. But that's one of the things that people try. But we find here, we saw the Lord told them exactly how he was impressed with that. There's one more that people try to purify and think that, well, this is how I can have a pure heart before the Lord. What is it? C, religious activity. If I just get busy at the church, if I just volunteer for this job and that job and do this and do that. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus addressed that kind of person in verses 21 through 23 of Matthew chapter 7. When he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then he said, many will say to me in that day. And that's what almost sends shivers down my back when I see this. I wish that word many were not there, but it is. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name we've cast out demons, and in thy name we've done many wonderful. Lord, you remember how busy and how active I've always been for my local church. You remember me, don't you, Lord? All those years. Look at verse 23. Those who thought they could have a pure heart by religious activity, Jesus said, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So that's not how we purify our hearts either. God is not impressed with activity, no matter how righteous it may look, if it is not from the heart. So, how is it possible? If these are not going to suffice, and the heart is so sinful, what hope is there? Let's see number 4 for you note takers, the honest solution. And what I had Jerry get was a book on the Sermon on the Mount, and Mr. Lloyd-Jones says this, who are the pure in heart? They are those who are mourning about the impurity of their hearts. Because the only way to have a pure heart is to realize that you have an impure heart and to mourn about it to such an extent that you do that which alone can lead to cleansing and purity. Well, what is that which only we alone can do, which can lead to cleansing and purity? A, it starts with admission. Even what Lloyd-Jones says here. They are those who are mourning because of the impurity of their hearts. You realize you have an impure heart and you want to do something about it. That is the starting point, is to admit. B, all right. I know my heart's not right. I know it isn't what it ought to be. Next, what is it? Desire. B, desire. Do you have a desire to do something about that? Psalm 51:10, the psalmist, and this 51st psalm is a psalm that was written after Nathan the prophet came and pointed out to David's face that all that he had done with Bathsheba, David thought nobody knew, and Nathan said, God knows everything that you've done. God knows everything that you've done. You committed adultery with her, you murdered her husband, and was that the end of David? Was that the end of his usefulness for the Lord? Absolutely not. Did David stay that way? No, he began to cry out to the Lord. He admitted his heart wasn't right. And look at verse 10 of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, it starts with admitting rather than trying to just sugarcoat it. My heart's not that bad. My life isn't that bad. No, admit it. And then do you have a desire? Do you want to do something about it? Are you ready to cry out to the Lord? And then accept or receive, see, by faith, the answer in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Acts 15, 8 and 9. And God, which knoweth the hearts, this is when Paul was and Barnabas went to the Jerusalem council. Why did you go to the house of the Gentiles? You know they're unclean dogs. Why did you go there? And they are just explaining how the Lord led them there. And here he says in verse 8, we find God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them, the Gentiles, the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them. How does the purifying of heart come? What's it say in your verse? By what? Purifying their hearts by faith. 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. We see Peter's words. He says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Notice, when God cleanses our hearts, are instructed then, when we have looked to the Lord and admitted to Him, I know my heart is not right. I know, but I want you to clean my heart, and I'm asking you, Lord, to put a clean heart in me. Psalm 51, verse 10. When you pray that, believe that, and then when God cleanses our hearts, we are instructed to maintain that clean heart. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanseth us from what? All sin. A pure heart. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, what a thought. To come before His presence is a great privilege. But in order to do it, we find in our text this evening, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? And the answer is, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Is yours? Is mine? That's the one that will receive the blessing from the Lord. It's possible, but it's only possible one way. Do you have a pure heart? In just a moment, I'm going to ask the men to come and serve with me the communion service. And you might say, Pastor, we haven't talked anything this evening about what would lead us up to the communion service. Yes, we have. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice he said, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said this, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily or in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What we've talked about this evening has everything to do with our communion service this evening. Can you come this evening? Is your heart right before the Lord this evening? If so, I invite you to do this in remembrance of Him. But if it's not, then you in your own heart get alone with the Lord and confess and get that heart right. Let's close in prayer, and I'm going to have the men just make their way up after I close in prayer. We thank you, Father, for what we could see tonight. We thank you for this truth concerning our hearts. Lord, these hearts are so important. We try to kind of sidestep, we try to ignore, we try to excuse when things are not right, but you know us, you see us, nothing is hidden from you. May we come and worship you in grateful remembrance with hearts worthy, because there's nothing sinful that we are trying to ignore or overlook. In your name we pray. Amen.